The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's Kevin Hart and Romani Malco, who, as a side note, doesn't get his flowers. Like, y'all need to fly. Yeah, we need to give him his flowers. 40-year-old version, you're at the Smart Tech. And Kevin walks in and he's trying to get, you know, brother to brother, you know what I'm saying? Like, hook me up with this warranty for, like, you know, free. But Romani's character was like kind of feeling himself and was just like, nigga, you're not finna come up here and tell me what to do. You know what I'm saying? And he's starting to get crazy. And he do what all of us do. You just start naming niggas from the hood to try to be like you hard. He was like, man, you know, rolling 20s, nigga, which is not who he's like, rolling 20s, nigga, poo-poo, insane. You know what I'm saying? So he just naming all these dudes. And, you know, Kevin Hart kind of like, what's up, nigga? Like, hey. So Kevin is trying to play it cool, but he's like, you saying all these big words and I don't know what the fuck you're saying, so I'm just going to take this as disrespectful. Nigga, hook me up, you know what I'm saying? And then, so now they all in their face, and then Steve Carell's character walks over, who is the virgin, and he's just like trying to figure out, because he's now the new floor manager, you know, how to stop this altercation. And they yelling, what's up, nigga, what's up, blah, 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 whoop, whoop, like they doing this. It's a scene that, like, if you're from LA, it's super familiar. But Kevin looks over his shoulder at, well, Kevin's character looks over his shoulder at Steve Carell's character. He was like, is this your boy? You with him? And then he goes, and then Romani's character goes, yeah, we with him. We rep the same Smart Tech. He was like, you just got yourself clapped. When I come back, I'm clapping both of y'all niggas. Click, 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 click. Both of y'all, right? And then he storms out in the funniest Kevin Hart way. And then and Steve Carell's like, what did I do? He goes, it don't fucking matter. Just because you connected. You, your homeboys, your grandmama, your great-grandmama, your cousins, everybody's getting clapped. All y'all. Let's talk about how the war on terror got put together. Hood politics. So I first want to give all respect due and calibrate any conversation from now on, whenever we're talking with hood politics, whenever we're talking about actual wars, full respect to the men and women of our armed forces who went out there and just did their job. You know, your job wasn't easy. This shit is difficult. It's complicated. Some of y'all were very conflicted, but you did it. You know, y'all got dead homies out there that you lost in these fields. I just want you to know I respect y'all. I love y'all. Thank you for your service. Damn, this shit is hard. You know what I'm saying? So calibrate every conversation with that. Anytime, again, I'm going to say this every time we talk about this. I'm not talking about y'all. Ever. Unless you niggas deserve it. But most of the time, for the most part, I'm talking about the military industrial complex, not soldiers. All right? Respect. My daddy's a vet. Let's go. So we just crossed the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. So many years later, we're finally, quote unquote, leaving Afghanistan. And it's like, well, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, you know, which was a whole other war. And just, we've just been in this forever war, just shooting at whatever moves. You ever ask yourself, if you step back and say, well, Osama was the head of Al-Qaeda, how we end up fighting the Taliban for so long? How y'all get involved? We was dropping drone strikes in Somalia, Nigeria. Like, it was just like, we was just bombing everywhere, and we called it the War on Terror. And what was so interesting about the War on Terror is, like, you don't have to name a location because the name is so... it's so vague. It's like we just getting our get back. How did we get to that? Was you ever confused? I know I was a youngling when it happened and I was like, wait, I thought we was talking to these people. What is we doing in Iraq? What that got to do with, how are you, this drone strike, like y'all all over the place. So allow me to elaborate in terms that hood folk will understand. You got to imagine that a situation where the disrespect, the dishonoring, the attack, if you will, was so egregious, so crazy, and you that it got you so out of pocket that you was like, I don't know where you are, and I don't know how any of your homies let you think you could do this, but I'm coming for you and everybody around you. Because they should have told you. And then it's almost like you let the streets know. If anybody, I'ma speak pretty harshly. If anybody fucks with them, if anybody messing with them, anybody that fucks with y'all, like, y'all now are officially ops. I'm letting the streets know. If you homies with him, you a op. If you a homies, y'all are ops. Everybody somehow connected to this nigga is an op. Period. I don't want to hear nothing about it. If we see you, we dump it. That's just, it was like, this is what happens. So if you, civilian A, cousin of a cousin of a cousin, all of a sudden, you are op. You understand what I'm saying? To a situation you wasn't even there for. Right? Or, you know, you faux hoods over, all of a sudden somebody start coming through here shooting through your hood, and you like, what the hell did we do? I don't understand. And then if you start tracking back as to what happened, if you sitting there, and I mean the rules are very simple. If we still talking gang shit, the rule is pretty simple. It's like, well, look, man, listen, that shit you had with homeboy, that ain't had nothing to do with us. Yeah, that's my dog, whatever, but that ain't had nothing to do with us. But now you've made it have something to do with us. You done brought me in. You done dragged us in. We had shit to do with this. But now, nigga, what's up then? But if you the one blasting, you were so out of pocket that now you done caused yourself to spread yourself thin across so many different wars. You got ops everywhere now. And if you got ops everywhere, then there's no, you gotta constantly shoot. You gotta constantly, everywhere you go, everything's an op. So it's just, it's super out of pocket. But let's take this a little further. If you're not careful, if you hood A that's just out here shooting at everybody because the stuff was so egregious, if you don't do your homework, you may find out you blasting at somebody who actually really ain't get along with the people you was originally mad at. I mean, it's not a hood secret. You ain't got to be like a gangbanger to know that 60s and A Trays, which are two cripples, you have to be a gangbanger to know that they don't get along. I knew they didn't get along. They not the same. And I know if you not out here, as in Los Angeles, maybe you didn't know that. If you didn't listen to rap music, you wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't know. But if you just out here, you say, oh, Blue, I'm shooting. It's like, well, you, I mean, you done created a bigger problem for yourself, right? Listen, give me another example. The Bay isn't Los Angeles. Well, sure, we're both from California, but it's not the same. E-40 and Too Short, that's not Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. Like, we're, Los Angeles is not Long Beach. Like, these are, which is not Compton. These are different places, you know? You can't just assume that this network of a connection all thinks the same. But if you announce a war on terror, you just shooting at anything that you think looks like people you looking for. I mean, I could go on and on. You know, Samoans aren't Tongans. And funny story, well, not so funny story, but I tell you what, where I was originally from, the area I'm originally from, they had a pretty decent Samoan population. Now, where I moved to go to high school, they were Tongans. This is it. And listen, I'm going to keep real with you. They look the same to me. Ginormous Polynesians that clearly are afraid of nothing and don't feel pain. That was my perception, right? But let me tell you what, you better not mix them up. Don't you confuse no Tongan for no Samoan. This is an offense. And it's not my place to understand why that's so offensive. That's their culture. It's different. They two different people. And you should respect that. Can't just walk in here and be like, all willy-nilly. Like, you need to do your homework. Then you creating more problems in your ability to try to fix them. War on Terror was kind of like this.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So today I want to get into the weeds as to what happened September 13th, right? When we finally declared war. I'm going to talk about Senator Barbara Bell, the lone black woman that voted against it, right? Good for her. History has proven she was on the right side. And sort of how in the hell we went from Al-Qaeda to Taliban to ISIS to just all these different places that if you're not paying attention, you may not understand how in the hell this became so convoluted and how we got away with it. I think that's the most interesting part. How the hell did we get away with this? So first, let me back up and say this. As a sort of ethnic studies, sociology, history, you know, someone who just enjoys culture, let me put that hat on first. I think it's important to understand that this swath of earth, SWANA, that's what I learned from the homies on Ethnically Ambiguous, which is Southwest Asian North African, right? So this area that some would call the Middle East, which is would mean that you're centering Europe if it's the Middle East. Anyway, if you don't center Europe, then it's not the middle anything. It's just where they are, right? Anyway, this region is as ethnically and religiously diverse as any other region in the world. When I think about just the country of Cameroon in Africa, like, which is not this region, but the country of Cameroon in Africa, I remember they said, y'all, it's 250 languages spoken in the capital city. So in the country, it's 250, just in that country is 250 different languages. Well, what's the language of Cameroon? French? No. Like, that's the colonizer's language. You have to remember, this region wasn't always Muslim. There was plenty of tribal practices. There are religions that existed way before the Prophet Muhammad. And there are villages and people who practice a lot of these, you know, sort of tribal traditions that really ain't got nothing to do with anything that you and I would identify as Arab. Matter of fact, they don't even speak Arabic. Let me really blow your mind. The Taliban, that's Pashtun. That's from a whole other region. That's a whole other tribal ethnicity. They're Pashtun. Like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure you never thought of that. But I don't know if you haven't thought of that, but let me remind you, they're Pashtun. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a whole other shit. You feel me? So if you're not, and look, they don't get along with ISIS. They never have. They don't even practice the same type Islam. Like, they're remarkably different. You know? I mean, it's 60s day trades, I guess. All I'm trying to tell you is this place has such a long, deep, and rich and diverse history that if you just come in, you just let America tell it, you just let our history books tell it, it's just, these just the same people roaming the same desert. Like, no. These people are very, very diverse. So I think it's important to remember that first. The views for which they see ways forward are just as diverse, just as all over the place as ours are. You could, I mean, drop yourself into any place of America and be like, what's the best way to fix America? You ask 10 people, going to get 10 different answers. Same. It's like, we feel like, because of our lens, that you can just paint them as one thing. And it's just not true. We just call these groups who are in fact extreme, you know, we'll say that, you know, depending on who you ask, but we just call them all one thing. There's an academic term for that. It's called a pan-ethnic term, like Asian. You know how many countries are in Asia? You know how many different types of humans are in Asia? African. You ever looked in the face of a Somali, an Ethiopian, and put that person's face next to a Nigerian? They don't look the same because the place is huge. Like, I can't stress this enough. You gotta account for the diversity, right? So first, let's back up there. This is a very diverse place. And everybody wasn't on board with everything. Just like every nigga from South Central didn't gangbang, although those may have been our family, but we wasn't all involved, right? And every Crip gang don't get along just because they all, it's not the same. Now, back specifically to our situation, all of these different regions have maybe similar but very different relations with the West and with America. Saudi Arabia is not Iran, which is not Iraq, which is not Pakistan, which is not Afghanistan, which is not Syria. Like, it's not, which is not Lebanon, which is not Palestine, you know what I'm saying? Which is not Hamas, which is not, like, it's not the same. You know, so it may seem it, but that's because, nigga, we racist. Let's just be real. Like, it's because we racist. We ain't taking our time to understand that it's different. Like, it's they're all different histories, right? So who specifically attacked America in 9/11 was Al-Qaeda. Osama bin Laden was the head of Al-Qaeda. That's a very specific and particular group that had a very particular goal. All right? But now we're leaving Afghanistan and we're dealing with ISIS and the Taliban. ISIS wasn't even outside back then. You know, they was paying attention, but they wasn't even outside back then. So how did we get here? Well, let's get into the weeds. So 9/11 happens. Oh my God. I don't know who, if you were old enough to remember it. Most people know exactly where they were when it went down. I remember I was working at a middle school out in the city called Diamond Bar in greater Los Angeles area. I think it's one of the last cities in the LA County. Anyway, pretty affluent area. And I remember I was about to get up for work and my dad, you know, runs into the room. Like, I was living with my pops at the time. And he was like, have you turned on the TV? And I was like, no, you guys just woke up. So I turned on the TV. And I think, like, collectively, I saw the second plane, you know, fly into the Twin Towers. And obviously, I probably had the same reaction everybody else did, where I was like, yo, is this a movie? Is this a trailer? Like, is this real? You know, so that first, like, this can't be real situation. And then it hits you like, oh my God, this is real. It actually happened. And I remember the eerie feeling of, like, for the next day or two, like, no planes in the sky. Now, if you live in LA, it's like, since anywhere near LAX, you hear planes all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you, you know, it's such a normal to where it's like it's white noise. So it was super eerie once that sound in sight of planes just not flying in the air was like, I was crazy. But yeah, I was glued to the TV like everybody else, you know, just like going crazy, you know what I'm saying? And the response of President Bush and everybody involved is one that anyone would expect, to where it's like, oh, nigga, it's on. Like the name of your show, like, all right, who the fuck did this? I'm coming for you and all your homies. You know, the rule, they take one, we take five. Like, okay, nah, homie. You know, and I've heard some military theory of having a unbalanced response to an attack as a way to guarantee you don't get attacked again. Now, me as a civilian who was affiliated and just in the city, you know what I'm saying? And then left my own hood to grow up in this like Latino hood where I was with all these like, all these vatos. That actually kind of resonated with me in the sense that I need to lose my mind. I think we talked about it in the Shut the Fuck Up, You Ain't Gonna Do Shit episode where it was like, if it's about to go down, I need to seem so crazy. Yeah, just to make y'all think twice. You know what I'm saying? To consider maybe not to do this. It's a deterrent. So you have to like, if this the first time you finna squab, first time you finna get out, you need to like lose your mind on someone. Just like something wrong with you. Mentally, you have no regard for your own safety. Go wild ape shit on somebody. And it's for the purpose of never having to do it again. Anybody like, y'all been to the pen, you could talk to those who have, where it's like, all right, I have to break someone's face with a plate. You know what I'm saying? We just fighting. That's fighting's a part of, it's a part of it. You know what I'm saying? So like, at least if you break somebody's face, it'll like buy you a few weeks. You know what I'm saying? The point is this, as a matter of fact, as a funny story, this was like this kind of theory, like I kind of sparked the whole idea of how I think about politics in the sense that I'm like, oh yeah, it kind of is. It's like what happened in the bombing of Pearl Harbor? What did we do in response? Hiroshima, cuz. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you atomic bombs. And some would argue maybe the wildness of that atomic bomb bought us 60 years of ain't nobody messing with us until 9/11. That's just, I don't know. That's a theory I've heard before. But I was like, damn, that shit makes sense. You know what I'm saying? You gotta go crazy. You gotta let these people know, look, I am not the one. Okay? Like, don't bring that heat over here. I'm not the one. I'm dangerous. I eat your children. That's Mike Tyson quote. So cool seeing how his evolution and how he's become just this like peaceful, like guru of like psychedelics and healing. I love it, dude. Mike Tyson's so great. Shout out Future Roller.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So 9/11 happens. Our nation, it just tapped the collective testosterone in the mix of our grief. And anybody who knows grief understands that, like, listen, dog, like, don't make no decisions right now. Like, you just work it out, you know, do your thing. And I think Radiolab, like, that podcast has a really dope story on this particular thing about Senator Barbara Lee, you know what I'm saying, who basically, like, she went to the memorial and she heard the words of the of one of the clergymen that was doing the memorial service, and he basically said, like, let us be careful not to become the very thing we abhor. And this is why she was like, yo, we can't do this, because they were voting on the document I'm about to read to you. Y'all ready? Okay, so the AUMF, AU, motherfucker, nah. It's the Authorization for Use of Military Force, is the document we use now to declare war. The last time we declared war up until that point was like World War II. So one of the lawyers who had to do this had to, like, basically take the document from World War II, drop it into a Word doc, change up some things, make sure it's there. Because as you should know by now, only Congress has the right to declare war. Right. But it's not like you walk in like, you know, Michael Scott in back to Steve Carell, Michael Scott in the office being like, I declare bankruptcy. Just stands in the middle and it's like, no, that's not what it means. But it's not like that. Like, we have to officially, because again, like, we understand how dangerous we are and we need to have these safeguards, because it's like, we finna send our own people out here to do some shooting. Right. So we need to have processes to make sure, like, we really, is this really the move we want to make? You got to be careful. You can't just be willy-nilly out this mug. So here's where it gets ill. It's like, I mean, it's a PDF, yo. It's like, y'all could Google it. Like, it's just a regular PDF. And all of Congress had to agree or had to vote on it. And it was like unanimous minus one that we would do this, right? What was Senator Barbara Lee's single objection to this? And it was one section, just section two. And it reads, in general, no, really, it says in general. I'm not paraphrasing, says, in general, that the president is authorized to use all necessary and appropriate force against those nations and organizations or persons he determined, planned, authorized, committed, or aided in the terrorist attacks occurred on September 11, 2001, or harbored, here's where it gets good, or harbored such organizations or persons in order to prevent further attacks of international terrorism against the United States by such nations, organizations, or persons. I'm gonna hone in on the part that got us from Al-Qaeda to Taliban. Or harbored such organizations or persons in order to prevent any further acts of international terrorism against the United States by such nations, organizations, or persons. What does this mean? This means that we don't gotta name nobody. This means we don't have to name a location. This means if we even think you connected, we dump it. This is Kevin Hart leaving the smart tech being like, it don't fucking matter. I'm clapping everybody. If you with him, I'm clapping. This is also goes back to that theory I just said, which is to prevent any further acts. And in the inner city terms, middle school, high school, prison yard, whatever, the park, hell, the woods. I think any tough as nails, you know, Rust Belt, Michigan steel worker, you get this. In order to prevent any more aggressions towards me, I'm a wild the fuck out. Like, I'm a wild out. You gonna see these hands. I'm gonna leave one of y'all limping. Like, trust me, you gonna remember this. Now, according to the records, which, I mean, you could pull up the audio because it's public record. Like, so then Senator Joe Biden, who did vote for this, don't let him say he didn't. He said, and it, because it's in the paperwork, look, man, it has to do with who was connected to 9/11. It's not like we just gonna go out here shooting everywhere. It has to be who was connected to 9/11. If you was connected to Al-Qaeda, like, directly, then this is what this is about. Like, relax. It's not like we're going to be in a war for another 20 years just shooting all over the place. Yes, it is. Why? Because this thing is so vague, so broad, and so up to the interpreter that it just reminds me of when you're living in a neighborhood that just got greenlit. They just shooting because they think you connected. They think y'all involved. Dog, we dropped bombs in Somalia. We was doing drone strikes all over the damn place, everywhere. Why? Because of this one passage right here. By any such nations, organizations, or powers. If you aided or harbored such organizations or persons, nigga, we get to shoot if we think you were part of it. If you helped them, but look, you know what's not defined is, what do you mean by help? What do you mean by connected? Now, how'd you get to the Taliban? Well, we all know, or we should know now, that after 9/11, that's where the Taliban gave Osama a place to hide. He was hiding in Afghanistan. So there, okay, there's a direct connection. Like, oh, you helping this nigga? All right, it's on, right? But you ever step back and say, why are you helping him? Now, y'all should do your real homework as the difference between Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Y'all should do your homework. But I think here's what's interesting. I think it's something to be said about when you have such an aggressor like that, that like, even if Al-Qaeda and the Taliban really ain't get along, our aggression made them. Let's just say it was some shit that none of us even knew about. That's like just happening over there. We don't know what's going on over there. And I'm going on record telling you right now, because I know this for a fact. You know that bombing that happened at that airport after, you know, a few months ago after America left? That was ISIS. ISIS don't get along with Taliban. You have to picture it like this. Like if ISIS is one hood, Taliban another hood, America was more like the cops, where it was just like, well, none of us like you. Yeah, we don't get along, but now that you gone, why the Taliban get to be up? We want to be up. We used to be up. Y'all, when we was up, y'all came in here and destroyed us just like they're destroying the Taliban. So I'm glad y'all gone, but this our chance. We need to get our get back. I want to be up. ISIS ain't even from Afghanistan. They from Syria and Iraq. Like, they not even from there. That's their cousin's hood. ISIS are. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they just, that's another set. They not even from that region. It's like, look, this shit is complicated. You can't just go over there shooting. Everybody feel different about everything. We just dumb because we like, look, Muslim. And it's like, nigga, no. Like, they got theological differences just like Christians do. It's like, it's not the same, yo. But look, this little paragraph right here. That's how we was able to shoot at whatever we thought. And here's what was so crazy about this war. It was a war against an idea. And you could say World War II was a war against an idea, right? You could say that World War II was a war against fascism. But we all know that was that was Hitler. It was the Nazi regime. It was focused on Germany. And you know what the Axis power was in the same way. It's like, well, fuck you and your homies. If y'all gonna click up, nigga, then you are enemy too. Now you are op. And in that situation, a little different. America's like, look, nigga, we was minding our own business. We was trying our best to stay out of this. But nigga, what's up now? I mean, you just gonna shoot at us? All right, now I'm gonna come handle this. We say that was a war of an idea, but that was it was a little easier. Proxy wars, we say that was a war of an idea, like during the Cold War, you know, Korean War, Vietnam. Yeah, those proxy wars. I talked about proxy wars before on this pod. That they were more about who gets to be the boss in town. You know what I'm saying? But it was focused at a place. Like it's in Vietnam. But if you just shooting at terrorism, who do you shoot at? You done already got the guy. What you still shooting at? Once you find the guy, ain't it done? No, because we get to say, and y'all homies, I'm finna wipe y'all all out. And then maybe we had a little change of heart because we realized there's a lot of carnage. And you just shooting randomly at different hoods thinking they connected. You done burnt their whole city down, burnt their whole country down. It's like, America was like, my bad, I ain't mean to knock down y'all whole city. Here, let me help y'all build this thing up so this shit don't happen again. Y'all can't keep messing. Don't be messing with these dudes, man, because if you messing with them, we coming back. Don't be messing with these fools. You don't know how to build no damn nation, nigga. Y'all an army. Like, you don't know what you doing. Y'all came over here just shooting. You feel like it don't work, fam. the idea of it don't work. But that's all because, you know, every last one of our elected officials, except for Miss Barbara Lee, said, no, cuz you don't get to just shoot at everything. Like, hold on. Ain't you that? Nah, time out. We need to think this thing through. And you know what? She's still a congresswoman. It ain't hurt her. It ain't hurt her at all. She's still in Congress. Ain't that dope? Black women saved the day again.
Y'all, this mug was recorded and edited by me, Propaganda, right here in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles. Y'all can follow me at Prop Hip Hop on all the socials. You can follow the Hood Politics Pod itself at Hood Politics Pod, where we be trying to make takes on stuff that aren't really big enough for a whole episode, but definitely needs a little bit of clarity. This mug was scored, edited, mixed, and mastered by the one and only Headlights. Y'all go follow my dog, Matt Oswowski. I still don't know how to say his name. I'm glad he changed it to Headlights. Follow him on his socials at Headlights_music. Telling you, hear all these new other fly tracks this fool be making. And the theme music was done by the one and only Gold Tips, DJ Sean P. And y'all remember, every time you check in, if you understand the hood, you could understand politics. Shouts to iHeartMedia for making this happen.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.